Welcome to One More Game presented by Hoosier Pickleball. I'm your host, Matt Brandenberger. This is BDO, Bang Dink Ow. That's why you see Ryan Kearns. Welcome, Ryan. Thanks for joining me. It's good to have you back. We were on a couple week hiatus. Abby and I did a kind of an extra episode of our normal One More Game. And with Ace opening up, you and I both are repping our Ace gear. Kind of hard to see there, but we both got our Ace gear on, and the club is open now. We're about 10 days in, and it's going well. How are you liking Ace so far?
Definitely liking Ace. Top of the line facility, always available to play pretty much. You know, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., there's people there. Lighting's excellent. But yeah, it has been kind of a crazy week with that opening up between e-learning, remote learning, and I know both of us juggling our kids' activities. Yes. Tough to hook up.
Constantly juggling for sure. And yeah, it was a good week to open in some aspects because it was cold, and obviously in Indiana this time of year, there's not really an option to ever play outside. But it was almost too cold and too icy and snowy that I think that kind of drove numbers down a little bit, starting to pick up a little bit more. So spreading the word, if you have not been out to Ace, make sure you come out. Right now we're running kind of a special introductory thing where you can drop in for just $10 and play all day if you're there before 10 a.m. on weekdays. So come check us out at Ace. We'd love to meet you. We actually had somebody from Toledo, Ohio, who drove over and said that he heard about it. Shout out to Sam. So my guy, Sam, if you're listening, said he heard about it from listening to the podcast. It like made my day. I was like, man, there you go. The podcast is spreading the word, spreading the Ace love. So that was really kind of fun to hear.
Well, if you build it, they will come. So
that's right. And we need,
especially more, in dead of winter.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, so we are on session 3 now, Ryan, of Bang Dink Ow, and we still are looking for more people to send us their videos. And I'll another plug for Ace, say that now that we have the play site, there's no excuse. It's so easy to record. And I actually have had a couple people that say they would love for us to do one of our future sessions. Now we'll be able to get their videos super easy. But in this episode, we decided it was your turn to look at some video of you, and so we're going to dissect your game today. So how are you feeling?
I think it's only fair, since right. People ask me for advice, and you know, we've done a couple podcasts where we nitpick you and Abby, and so you know, I definitely don't walk on water. So
no, you're one of the most humble guys I know. You do a great job of, you'll definitely tell us what you need to work on, and this will be a good chance for us to kind of see some of those things firsthand. And you know, I know talking to you going through this is always a good experience too. So let's take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we will dive into our game that we are looking at some things that you're doing. So we'll be right back right after this.
Parents, your teen driver or soon-to-be driver looks to you for guidance on safe driving techniques.
Drive Alive is an organization dedicated to young driver safety. Visit our website at drivealiveindiana.org to view videos designed to facilitate conversations between parents and their teen drivers.
Topics include getting to know your vehicle, understanding car insurance, simple car maintenance, and what to do if you just had an accident.
Visit drivealiveindiana.org to learn more.
Welcome back to Bang Dink Ow, presented by Hoosier Pickleball, and One More Game. So, Ryan, who do we got here? Kind of let you introduce everybody.
Okay, well, I am on the near side here in the red shirt, right side, getting ready to serve. You are next to me, to my left, with your hat on backwards. On the far side in the receiver's position, white shirt, is professional player Jackie Kawamoto. And her partner on the court and off the court, Jackson Lindquist, on the left side.
Very good. So I'm definitely the weakest player here, the only one boasting just under a 5.0 Duper rating. Jackson's, I believe, like a 5.95, and Jackie is a professional's right around 6 as well. So, some good competition we had here, to say the least, right?
Yes, we had our work cut out for us. I don't think we covered the spread.
I don't know what the Vegas line was on this one, but I think you're right. We've had some good games with them. This wasn't our best, but that's what we do on this, right? We want to highlight, you know, some places where we made some mistakes. We'll also highlight some good points as well. But some good competition, good people too. Love playing with Jackie and Jackson anytime we get a chance to. So thanks for them being kind of our, what do we call them? Guinea pigs or test dummies, whatever you want to say. But we'll try not to make fun of them too much. But we are going to start with your heater serve. And like, we got to say that Jackie is a professional, but she just could not handle that heater right there. It's in the net. Granted, that was the first shot of the day, so we'll give her a little grace on that. But let's just say, spoiler alert, that was not the first one.
I was going to say, you're going to have to trust us that was Jackie, even though you can't really see very well over there. That wasn't like just some random brunette that we put in there to miss the return.
Well, she might even tell you it was Jade. I know, you know, her twin sister, she might act like it was her. So on this point, though, Ryan, I'm going to fast forward a little bit ahead. And when you were taking your notes, you said it's horrible drive. I want to just look at this here. You did not like your decision to drive it here. Or maybe it's not so much about the decision. It's ball short in the court, but you're just trying to hit this way too hard. Is that kind of what you would say?
Yeah. I think I like the decision, even though I do drop probably 95 to 99% of the time, as you know. But the return was not too far beyond the kitchen line. It was short. But my preparation was really late. Didn't catch it out in front and airmailed it. Yeah. I mean, you just got to get it in the court, whether I'm hitting it at Jackson, who's a big target, or hitting it to Jackie in the transition zone there. I just tried to overhit it.
Yeah. And would you say, is that 100% technique, or would you even say, like, maybe instead of swinging at a 90, 95% shot, taking a little something off it, you've got Jackie back a little bit. I mean, she's not quite to the transition zone, or she's in the middle of the transition zone. Maybe just kind of more of a roll at her feet.
Yeah, that would have been an option there, but I think part of it was caught it late and overswung. But yeah, probably a better choice would have been to take something off it, because with those two players, I'm not going to hit many balls through them anyway.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead to look at something else here. 158 mark. Good point here from both of us. Kind of talk through what you see in this point.
Yeah, so on that point right there, initially was, I think, set up by a nice deep return. Jackson chose to hit forehand, which pushes him off the court a little bit. And since he was already off the court, I tried to keep my fourth shot also deep into that same corner to keep him over there and keep the middle essentially open at this point. So then he does work his way in, I think, at some point, but they never really got, you know, totally comfortable at the kitchen line. See there, Jackie was still spread apart. The middle was kind of open there, I think.
Yeah, she's kind of moving back to her right, and then you kind of went back across her, kind of caught her a little bit. Maybe she thought Jackson was going to jump in there and poach that on there.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, a nice job just at the beginning of that, though, of setting it up with your return back and deep. Jackson could have taken a backhand, but he runs around his forehand and is totally off the court, which then allows you to keep him back on his backhand and the rest of the point is history. So,
and your ball in the middle was pretty good there too, because it was a backhand and it wasn't really a ball you could put away, but you put it around, you know, below Jackie's knees. So all she can do is try to reset and hopefully buy them some time to get neutral there.
Yeah. So this next point, you wrote here that you need to get tighter and need to make the fit here. So this was something, I think, as you watch the video, you seem pretty critical of yourself on of not getting in quick enough. So when you're hitting these third or this fifth shot, or after my third, would you want to see yourself in a little bit more? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm kind of looking through this video. I think my problem is that I'm trusting my drops too much, that I'm thinking to myself like, well, just stay back. You can hit a drop. You can hit a drop. You can hit a drop. But your drop was nice in the third, and you got probably tighter to the net than I did when I hit my fifth. So there's no reason on your good drop that I could have been in closer and closer to the middle, because your drop was the middle. Jackson wasn't going to be able to go behind me to the line. And that's kind of another one where I'm just kind of like hanging back, waiting, balls below net level. I need to come in. It's going to make my third, fifth, seventh easier. And it's going to put more pressure on them, so they don't have as much real estate to kind of flick their fourth and sixth shots and push me back.
Yeah. So that was the very next point that was playing as you were talking. Then here it is again, where you would like to see yourself kind of following this in a little bit more, so that you're in a little bit better position then to get that next one over.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, you know, he played it below net level. Granted, Jackson's got long arms and can pick some balls off, but there's no reason why I couldn't have been it a little bit tighter. And that would have cut down his angles, so that's it's less lateral movement that I have to make than to hit the fifth if I get in tighter.
Yeah. This was the very next point then. Pretty good point here. Some good dinking going on. I try to speed up that Jackie jumped on, that you were able to reset. And one of our longer points of the match for sure. And then it ends with me not being real smart there, speeding up. But you're like, actually, I don't even know who got the paddle on it on that speed up. And maybe I did, and Jackson made the mistake there. But go ahead, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say that it's kind of indicative of how you almost have to play those two. You have to try to make almost everything bounce, try to move it around a little bit. And you can't get really too pushy with your dinks to Jackson, because he's going to take them out of the air. And if they sit up too much to Jackie, she's going to have you on skates, you know, moving all over the place or light you up with a ball.
Absolutely. This is a good one here. My decision here is, it's kind of like I sped this up and I got away with it, but I know this video is not about me, but this is one where I feel like I've got to do a better job of, I probably should have, even though Jackson doesn't hit a great dink here, I should probably just reset that. He kind of read that I was going to come in and was able to speed up, got kind of lucky with some good defense though.
Yeah, I think if he's not lurking in the middle of his forehand, it probably wouldn't have been that bad of a ball, because it's the right side person's backhand, which in most cases, they're not going to be able to counter it. But he was still sitting forehand there.
Yeah, for sure. This is one of a couple in a row where you hit the third end of the net. And what I wanted to highlight here, Ryan, is, as I thought it was interesting that when I watched your weight here, your weight's primarily on your back foot. And I wonder if that contributes to that, or if you have thoughts about that. Are you, when you teach, do you usually say you want your momentum coming forward, or is there ever a time, or maybe you could make the argument that your momentum's kind of coming forward, even though you're on one foot? What are your thoughts when you see that?
I would say that you really don't ever want to teach hitting off your back foot. You definitely want momentum coming forward, even if it's hitting a drop that you're not necessarily coming in behind if it's a bad drop. You want everything kind of moving forward as you're hitting your shot. I think in that particular case, for whatever reason, I do these one-footed third shots every once in a while, or maybe a decent amount. I think I feel like my weight's back, but it's probably not ideal. But I would say that the teaching point there, whether you're 3-0, 4-0, 5-0, whatever, is don't miss thirds into the net. Don't miss thirds into the net. I mean, you got to get it over the net and make him at least play the next shot.
And it's funny you say that, because we played this morning, and between the two of us, I mean, I probably had 75% of them, but I think we missed about 20 into the net. I know you were getting frustrated with yourself, and I was beyond frustrated with myself how many thirds I was leaving into the net. But that was definitely a theme as I was watching through here, and I know you made notes of it as well, is if you're going to miss, miss high. You still have a chance. Into the net, we teach that all the time, is the worst shot you can hit in pickleball because the point is always over. Unless maybe you get the top of the net and it trickles over. But if it doesn't get over the net, you're not winning the
point. Yeah, it's even worse shot than my horrible drive that we let off with that hit the green tarp, because at least that was a ball that could have hit them. They could have decided to play, but they can't really play a ball that's going in the net.
So this is another point, again, where you had written what you had just kind of put into the net, maybe trying to be too cute there, but just highlighting that point again, just don't want to miss into the net. This
not just thirds. I mean, just balls in general. I think that shot happened to be a fifth or a seventh or whatever like that. Just trying to cut it too fine. Just get it over the net. Pop it up a little bit, get it over the net.
Live to see the next shot for sure. I just couldn't pass up this one. Just watch this backhand of Jackie's coming in here. I mean, that is just sick. I put it in slow motion, and I think she even gets off the ground and she just rips that one.
She's still in the transition zone there behind the tennis baseline too. So, I mean, she uncorked it.
Pretty darn good. Let me fast forward to another one here at the 818 mark. A good point here that we had of attacking and defending. We ended up winning this point. So a nice attack. You have some nice defense, and you're able to put it away. What do you like about this point, besides everything?
Well, the second ball you hit, which is your fourth with your backhand, even though you're not like really hitting down on it, the fact that you got depth on the shot and there was something to it, you know, allowed us to kind of establish ourselves at the kitchen line. And then likewise, Jackson had to play the first ball with his backhand, so he can't really attack us.
That's He's where still you're talking neutral.
Yeah. Yep, that first ball right there is for you, and he can only drop that one. And we play a little bit of defense and finally got one to pop up. And you don't get many green light balls against them, so you got to put them away and take your points when you can get them.
That you did on that one. That was a very good one. Again, I'll fast forward a little bit further to the 10-4 mark. Good return and fourth. Get into a pretty good, we really didn't, did you? Because that was another one you kind of left in the net.
Into the net. Another mistake in the net.
Yeah.
At least pop it up and let Jackson tag me. Have a better chance to win the point.
Yeah, you said it. Sometimes you almost have to concede with your fourth, making the ball bounce. And it's that one where you're saying you just didn't do that.
Yeah.
Or maybe that first shot.
The first shot. Yeah. So the very first shot there, you would have, you know, ideally people say, well, you know, try and keep him back on the fourth, But, Jackie's drop, I'm playing like off my ankles.
And right.
Yeah. I probably could have let it bounce, but that would have pushed me a couple steps off the back line, because she hits with some heavy topspin on her thirds a lot of times. So a lot of times, players make the mistake of trying to go for too much on their fourth. And I did hit a good ball on the fourth shot, just getting it in and essentially conceding. But then next ball I dump in the net's not a good one.
Fast forwarding here. This is just one that I, again, this is not about me, but this is like, come on, Matt, what are you thinking here? Like, just out of control running forward. So there's your daily reminder from Matt that split stepping is a good thing in pickleball.
Yeah, split stepping is advisable.
Yeah, I guess what I saw here was I hit a pretty good drop, and I'm thinking maybe he's going to pop it up and I can jump on it, but that's not taking into account Jackson's length, and it's actually not even that good. He's hitting it at pretty much net level, right at my feet. Now, if he's hitting that ball down at his ankles, maybe I kind of take a little bit more than that on that ball, but anyways, couldn't pass up. Highlighting that one. Let's see. Let's go forward. I think this next point here, the 1206 mark, good return and a good fourth, forcing an error there. That was nice. Very similar to that other point that we looked at earlier.
Yeah.
You're getting a good return. He goes to his forehand, and then you're able to get him back. You've done that to me a number of times as well. That felt familiar.
Yeah, that was like I said, when somebody's on the left side and they play that return with their forehand, it really opens things up in terms of either going back to that same spot and making them choose forehand or backhand, or it also leaves the middle kind of open. So it's kind of a way to sometimes wrong foot them or keep them guessing where they're going to go.
So here's kind of when you take the context of the whole game into account, you've missed a few in the net. So now here's a third that you say, I'm not missing this in the net, right? So you leave it maybe a little high, still not a bad shot though, but your partner here's probably getting too crazy and kind of messes it up there. I guess again, what I would like to see out of myself here is just more of a split step. When I read that your ball is a little higher, this is where, right here is probably where I should have stopped in the transition zone and then allowed you to come up with me instead of, you know, I tried to bait him and then jump back and it didn't end up working out. But right there is really where I should have split stepped. And, you know, that's part of being a good partner is then allowing you to get up behind your third.
Yeah, you definitely hit it right there that, it would have been a good idea to split step for you right there. Now, normally my drops aren't as that high, but I had missed so many in the net that I was just like you said, I'm not missing another one in the net. So it was a little bit higher than usual. So that was kind of a one-off, but yes.
That's part of the partnership too, is reading that and, you know, not just blindly going in on thirds, not always staying back, but, you know, kind of start to go in, you know, assume the best. But if that third's a little higher, then stop in that transition zone.
Mm-hmm.
Here's, I think, our point of the day, point of this match anyway, is a really good one that kind of goes back and forth. And what I love about this is all four players on the court are in pretty much perfect positioning. So let me kind of go back to the beginning of it. Pretty traditional start to it. One hits the net. That kind of gets us into a situation here. So here's Jackson playing smartly, going across court. You're in the middle, so he thinks maybe he can get it by you, but you're flipped like a cat. You get out there to get the ATP, but your ATP is against a pro who's going to get set up for it. So she comes, she sees you going ATP, and she plays great defense on the ATP. I was maybe a little slow to react. The distance between you and I would have liked to see myself before this be more in the middle instead of still a little bit on my side. But I get there in time to, and she kind of almost goes behind me to my right. Then I'm able to recover and set us up for the kill. But the positioning is really good from all four players.
Yep, you hit it on the head. And Jackson's part too, that he went sliding with Jackie. There are a lot of players that like see the ATP and see their partners got it covered and they just kind of stand there on their half. But Jackson slides middle, and like you mentioned too, you slid middle following me because you have to concede the cross court. I mean, that's kind of the new way of people trying to defend ATPs is to go cross court with it, because now just assume that the partner's sliding middle, but you still have to take away the middle first. And if they go cross court, you're going to have time to recover. So in both cases, you and Jackson slid appropriately with your partners, take away middle first. If they go behind you with some sort of sharp angle, just hope they have time to get there if they miss the shot.
How do you feel about the end of this point, though? I mean, I was engaged, right? So maybe that's my excuse, but I don't know.
that might have been the highest ball we saw all day right there, the one you're about true. Ready to smack. I don't think we ever saw a ball that was above our heads.
I was salivating for sure, but you kind of are leaning out of the way. But yeah, go back behind
I knew you were there.
You knew I was there. And I was kind of still playing middle as you're coming back. So maybe that's why I take one more step over. But when I hit that ball, I'm clearly on the middle side of your court. So my bad.
No, that's fine. Actually, you had probably a better angle to play that anyway, since it was coming that's from your left. I probably could have, stepped over and it's still been a forehand for me. But that was a case of where it's not always the, my ball because it's my forehand. Because of where we were, you had an angle to still play a forehand, even though you were on the right side.
Right. That's a good point. All right. So I'll keep on poaching over. Abby, I'd be glad to hear you say that. I'm sure. Let's see. I'm going to fast forward to this point here. This is one where you said you kept on keeping the ball high, but being patient. We eventually lose the point, but again, you had been hitting a lot of shots in the net, so you'd much rather have that high and give us the chance to win that point.
Yeah, once again, in most situations, I probably wouldn't have kept going high, but at that point in the day, I was kind of frustrated with myself for missing so many in the net that I went extra high, and you really weren't in a bad spot. I just left it extra high, and then finally Jackson got an opportunity to stick one at you rather than poking it back at me.
Yeah. When I watch my position on this, I'm still kind of sneaking. I guess I'm retreating a little bit each time. Maybe on that last one, I take one too many steps in, which ends up Jackson attacking me on that then. Kind of a cat and mouse thing where if you're close enough, maybe you'll get attacked. If you're back far enough, he's going to find that space to go back to you. All right, and this is how the game ends.
That was the game ender. But going back to that last point, the one before where, you were talking about the cat and mouse, you're up and back. That's a case of where even though my drops were a little higher than normal, by year at least, establishing yourself as a little bit of a presence up there, it does narrow Jackson's window for what he can do. Because if you're back with me at the baseline in that situation, throughout that point, Jackson can go anywhere. He can go to either of us. But since you're in the transition zone, he's pretty much limited to going to my side on most of those balls when they're still like in the yellow zone. Finally, when he gets one up a little bit green, then he's confident enough to go at you down the line. But on the earlier shots, he was forced to go there. So your presence did kind of help us out a little bit in narrowing the window that we had to cover.
Yeah. Interesting. That's a good point. And it's just, again, like finding that right space. I would say on the first few, I was in a good spot and then maybe I got a little too close, but maybe that was also your ball being a little higher, the last one being higher that you felt comfortable attacking.
Yeah, I think he also found your left tip on the first ball too. So it was, it's going to be a tough spot to do much with it.
Yeah. So your fourth was good here, but then you tried to get real cute.
Yeah.
That's a shot I think you miss. Of all the shot, I mean, you're one of the most consistent players I know, but that is the one I feel like you miss more than any, is trying to put that ball real close at the net. And when you get it, it's good. Nobody's getting it, but probably one you want back. One of those don't let perfect ruin good type ones, right?
Oh, exactly. Because in that situation, if I would just hit a good drop shot, chances are she's coming in, scurrying and popping it up to one of us, or it's going to have to be a lob. You just have to realize it doesn't have to be the winning shot. It can be a setup shot sometimes. Just hit a decent enough drop shot and make them scramble.
Yeah. For sure. Let me go back to sharing here real quick. Sorry. I'm not sure if I did this correctly. I should have paused the video, but I'm going to bring us back together on camera. I know we started talking off camera. I don't know what was said, and I don't know what could be heard. So I want to make sure we protect the innocent.
Yeah.
Overall, What are your takeaways from watching that, going through it?
For watching that, like I said, you gotta miss high, you gotta miss long. It doesn't matter whether it's a 3-0, a 5-0, or a pro that you're playing against, when you're working on your shots, you know, especially when we're talking drops here, miss them long, play a little defense, maybe you hit a better one on the next one, but mm-hmm. you know, missing them in the net's just not a winning formula.
Yeah. But that is a good point, though. If you're playing against a 3-0, you probably know that your margin for error is a little greater when you're playing against Jackie Kawamoto, and it's even subconsciously in your head, like, you know, I can't be leaving shots high or I'm going to pay for them, right? So I would guess that, you know, you don't miss. I mean, I know this. I play with you enough to know you don't miss as many in the net typically as you did in that game. And that's probably, you know, somewhat, again, subconscious, just thinking, you know, I've got to be as precise as possible.
Yeah, there is a smaller safe zone when you're playing higher level players, but I don't know. You see some of the pros do it, and a lot of times they're thirds. They may have a little topspin on them, they may not, but they tend to be a little bit loopier. Make sure they bounce, and you know, then they come in and just are ready to counter. And that way, if it does sit up, you know, you're ready to counter, and maybe they're less likely to attack the ball off the bounce. So if you can make it bounce, even if it's a little bit higher arcing bounce, that's definitely a better formula than trying to skim the top of the net.
Yeah. So again, that's just kind of the, you know, the things we teach, like from a 3-0, like a beginner, you know, two of the biggest keys are never miss the ball in the net, get the ball over the net, and make the ball bounce, right? And those are the things that we saw when, you know, whether it's teaching a 3-0 or playing against a pro, it's kind of the same sort of things. And yep. That manifests itself for sure in a lot of those shots. Some good stuff, though, as well. I mean, what did you like about what you saw in the video, some of the things that you did well?
I think we didn't show the video in its entirety. I mean, I thought we had some good points when the four of us ended up getting to the kitchen line when we did make our drops. I thought we had some good points. I thought when we were the receiving team, granted the receiving team has the advantage, but there were a few good points where we didn't allow them to get in, or we kept them uncomfortable, which is difficult to do. So, you know, there was that.
Yeah, I agree. Those were what I thought you did really well. A couple times we highlighted was some of those deep returns, and a deep return, especially to the corner, allows you to really kind of start to dictate the point, or, you know, move the ball around to either force them to make a mistake or to set yourself up for a winning shot. And that was really evident on a couple of those points, especially I'm remembering Jackson when he was on the left side there, getting it all the way back where he had to either run around to his forehand or take it with his backhand. So yep. Those were good. I don't know what the final score was of that game. So we can say it was 12-10 in a hard fought game, but I don't think that was true. I don't think we covered the line, like you said.
No. So,
but no, good stuff. Yep. Yeah. Anything else to highlight, or is that going to do it?
I think that's going to do it. I mean, like I said, it sounds really basic, but, you know, hopefully people that are watching, people of all levels can take something from this, you know, just because there were two pros essentially on the other side that, what am I going to take from this as a 3-0, 3-5, or, you know, somebody beginner doesn't have a rating, you know, just get the ball over the net. And then, you know, the higher up you get, it's that much more important to make it bounce.
Yep. Limit your mistakes. Let the other team make mistakes. I was saying that to one of my partners today. We made several mistakes, and it's like, all right, it's now their turn. Give them opportunities to make mistakes. The only way you do that is if you get it over the net. And the more you make it bounce at their feet, the more mistakes they're going to make as well. So good stuff, Ryan. We're running out of people, so we're going to have to find some friends that want us to pick apart their game. So maybe they're afraid of us. Maybe that's what they don't want us to dissect their games, because then we're going to beat them. But we'll get some people, especially from Ace with PlaySight. So
yeah, Maybe we'll get them when they don't know it. We'll scan the barcode and they won't even know it. No, just kidding.
Right. Yeah, we might get sued for that. Let's not do that. I don't know.
Yeah, it wouldn't
probably
be good.
Have their approval. So, all right. Well, thanks, Ryan. Appreciate you, and we'll do this again in 2 weeks. But Abby and I will be back next week with another episode of One More Game. Until then, see you later.
Yeah. Bye.
As always, we want to thank our sponsors, Hoosier Pickleball, Drive Alive Indiana, Ace Pickleball, and Wheeland Real Estate. Reach out to Abby B for all your buying, selling, investing, and other real estate needs. In addition, a big thank you to the Ace Pickleball Studio in the world-famous Spiess Fieldhouse. Please make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or find us on YouTube at One More Game Pod. That's the number one More Game Pod. Hit that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star rating to help us spread the love. You can also find us on Facebook and TikTok at Hoosier Pickleball for all kinds of fun, tips, tricks, and other family shenanigans. Thanks again for listening, and we will see you next time.